how much of a difference 2 weeks makes. This is the Todd Wright Fantasy Football Podcast for our eighth straight season out of nine overall. We are presented by Hooters. If you are in the greater Tampa Bay area, originalhooters.com is your online destination for information on their 11 locations in the greater Tampa Bay area. We often highlight the Johns Pass Village location, not just because of its phenomenal view, but because of Tony Metzler being the store manager, being such a big supporter of mine, Todd Wright Tour Golf Tournaments, the Todd Wright Fantasy Football Podcast, playing in one of my fantasy leagues. So if you do go to the Johns Pass Village location, say hi to Tony, talk some fantasy football with him. He will make time to engage you in a quick conversation and will appreciate your business. That's just one of the 11 original Hooters locations in the greater Tampa Bay area. At all 11, you will find everyday pricing on Bud or Bud Light Draft, Mick Ultra Draft, or my choice, a neutral canned beverage for just under $5. And remember, as you're making your choice for a wing sauce or how you are going to sauce your hand-breaded tenders, mango habanero is the seasonal sauce for the summer. Hooters. Thanks to Hooters for their continued sponsorship of the Todd Wright Fantasy Football Podcast. I really appreciate them paying the bills so you don't have to pay for this fantasy content. My email for fantasy questions, the only way for you to direct your fantasy questions about what's going on with you to me, where I will respond. Don't do it on a message board. Don't do it via social media. Please don't text me. If you email me pretty much any day other than Sunday, I will respond. So get out in front of what you haven't decided for Sunday's lineups and email it before you go to bed on Saturday. Can be any time during the week. And I'll get to it. And I may even use it on a podcast. Write.todd@yahoo.com. Write.todd@yahoo.com is how you contact me. And I'd love to hear how you're doing through 2 weeks. In my leagues, one league, everything's gone great. I'm undefeated and haven't even been challenged in the first two games, which puts me at the back end of the waiver wire, week one, week two. That's the downside. And in the other league, I'm scrambling to replace an injured player, trying to figure out whether or not the lineup I put together is productive enough. Going forward, many of the same questions you have, sitting at 1-1 with a too low of a point total, even with the one win. What I'm going to attempt to do today in this podcast is take each of the 32 NFL teams and just offer a quick comment on what we've seen from those teams and whether it confirms or changes what we thought of something fantasy-wise from that team. And hopefully by doing this for all 32 teams, something in here helps you. I don't expect all of it will, but something in here will resonate with you and one of your teams and one of your leagues. I'm going to try to do this quickly. Wish me luck. Buffalo. Other than low point production for Dalton Hilliard. Wow, what year is this? Dalton Kincaid. Oh, man. I think the Bills have been as we've expected. By the way, there's some ridiculous statistic out there. The Bills have this streak going of either 42 or 43, either regular season games or overall they've played, where they've either won or not lost by more than six. So that's over two seasons. That's like 2.5 seasons. New England. It's either Ramondre or nothing. Yes, Gibson had a productive week two, but Stevenson, the first Patriot drafted in most fantasy leagues, I have him in one of my leagues. He's looked the part for those of us who said he might be all they have. At this point, with more from Gibson in week two, Ramondre looks to be a fantasy play. With the Jets, I had written down the Breece Hall rushing numbers. They're not great, but he has gotten in the end zone the first 2 weeks. Most of you know how I feel about Breece Hall. I would say most of you overall who invested in Jets are like Jets fans. You expected more, and you're disappointed through 2 weeks. The big plays on the ground from Breece Hall have not been there through 2 weeks with his, I think, 30 rushes for 116 yards and one rushing touchdown through 2 weeks. He does have a receiving touchdown, and there has been a supplement there on the receiving side. Dolphins, everything impacted by the change of the quarterback position, and at this point, I mean, Hill and Achane have given some production, but I know anyone with the Dolphins is worried about what happens going forward, starting with the Seattle game in week three. Let's do AFC West. Chargers. Those who used a late round pick on J.K. Dobbins have been rewarded. Whether you're playing him or not is up to you. I think at this point, if you didn't move him into your lineup in week two, you move him into your lineup in week three. Maybe it's a necessity with a running back injury until further notice. Sadly, I don't think this is sustainable for Dobbins. And then a bulk of the work will go to Gus Edwards, who's still touching the ball as much as Dobbins is, but just simply isn't as productive with it. And Quentin Johnston, the seemingly failed wide receiver from TCU, who even late in camp was dropping everything, has a touchdown in each game and is being targeted, and I hate to use that term, but they're looking to him in the red zone at a significant clip. I don't know if that's sustainable either, but again, this is all playing to Jim Harbaugh's strengths as a head coach, and the Chargers are 2-0. Chiefs, with the Pacheco going down, we're in an evaluation stage on what they're going to do at running back. I didn't rush the waiver wire for any of them, including Kareem Hunt. I don't have enough to go on anybody projected here. Wouldn't Leonard Fournette look really good in a Chiefs uniform right about now if he can do some of the same things he did for Tom Brady for a couple of years in helping Tom win a Super Bowl? I know it's a few years later. Raiders. For those that bought into how much the Raiders were going to run the ball, they're not. That's the noticeable through 2 weeks, and it's, I'm sure, impacted those of you that thought you might get value out of Zamir White. Broncos. Got this from Matthew Berry's Fantasy Football Happy Hour from Wednesday, so I attribute it was Jackson Rogers and Berry. I forget who brought it up. The Broncos leading rusher is Bo Nix, and it's not a good number. It's not a good thing. At this point, the Broncos aren't even playing fantasy football, let alone playing pro football. Steelers. I saw in one of my leagues, Pickens was already dropped. The Steelers are winning without really any significant fantasy numbers, and that just speaks to Mike Tomlin's strengths on how to win games, that there aren't great game planners and game managers out there with the retirement of Bill Belichick. I think Mike Tomlin is one of them. Justin Fields is worth owning. I have up to Josh Allen in one of my leagues, and we already know he's going to start week three. Browns. Got this from Connor Rogers on the Matthew Berry Happy Hour. For those of you that get all giddy about targets, 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 targets. Ooh, he has a lot of targets. Oh, he has a lot of targets. Can I remind you? I haven't heard of a league yet where targets equal points. They don't. I know there are some things you can draw from how much via percentage a player is targeted in the offense. It is not as much of a factor to me. I think it's more maybe red zone, as I brought up with Quentin Johnson. The point being, Amari Cooper had 8 targets in week 2. Ooh, exciting. Ooh, I'm an Amari Cooper owner. I got 8 targets. Yeah, as Connor Rogers brought up on the Matthew Berry Show, he was wide receiver 72 in week 2. That's what targets gets you. 8 targets, 71 NFL wide receivers produce more fantasy points in those leagues, which most of those are PPR that Connor is referencing. Point being, there you go. There's how targets doesn't necessarily translate to points. And it also is quite a condemnation, is that a word, of Deshaun Watson. Ravens with their 0-2 start. What do we take out of this? That Isaiah likely won't do it every week, or at least won't in weeks where Mark Andrews is healthy. More Derrick Henry. Ravens fans are clamoring for that, so are fantasy fans. Finally, Texans. We wait on the Mixon injury. I have no confidence in Cam Akers, and that was confirmed by his bad fumble inside the 5 late in the game against the Bears that would have put the game away. If nothing else, for those of you who own Nico, you love what you see, and you hope for more of it. The more Nico Collins plays, the more he shows he may be in the conversation of best wide receivers in the NFL. And when we talk about why the Texans are a thing and they're coming, normally we bring up D'Amico and C.J. Stroud, right? Those are our top two. Then we go to Will Anderson. Then we bring up who they brought in trades and free agency. I think we need to bring Nico into this conversation. Titans, Will Levis is so bad that I know of anything else I take out of what the Titans are doing right now, especially when we see their head coach saying to Levis without pulling the play sheet over his face, "What the fuck are you doing?" Tennessee doesn't have a quarterback. The quarterback that will potentially make Tennessee a contender under Coach Callahan isn't on this roster. They are already working the quarterback market for 2025, whether that's Cam Ward, Moss from USC, Beck from Georgia, Dart from Ole Miss, Nussmeier from LSU, Ewers, Sanders, or trying to get Browning, who I believe will have one more year left on his deal in Cincinnati, who I think would be perfect with Callahan. And the numbers were great on Browning last year. Jaguars, Brian Thomas Jr. That's what's good in Jacksonville. It's not his fault. They're 0-2. And we'd love to see him get the ball more. Colts 0-2. what are we taking out of the Colts through two? Taylor's been good. Richardson, not so much. Let's do NFC. Commanders. About what you expected from Daniels and Robinson. It's worthwhile. I want more from Daniels. But when you go an entire game without scoring a touchdown, that kind of puts a ceiling on things. Even though the Commanders won the game. Someone in one of my leagues already cut McLaurin. That seems premature. Daniels can throw the ball. You know, through 1 week, Harrison didn't get the ball in Arizona. They'll get McLaurin the ball. I got to find that league and maybe pick him up. Eagles. Still buyer's remorse on Saquon Barkley, even though he had the drop pass on a play that probably shouldn't have been called, that would have sealed the game for the Eagles. I wish I hadn't passed on Barkley with two picks in a row at the end of the first round, started the second round, taking Henry or Taylor. I wish I had that back through 2 weeks. Cowboys. I'm glad I have Brandon Aubrey, because Dak Prescott was doing the same things in a big game against the Saints that he does in big playoff games. He produced one first half touchdown. One. In a game where he needed to produce more. He needed to keep the offense on the field. He needed to keep up with what the other team is doing. Take the ball out of their hands. Score touchdowns. Instead, a lot of Brandon Aubrey there. And check status on CeeDee Lamb, of course. Giants. Oy. Malik Nabers seems to be offering a return on investment for those who put themselves out there thinking Nabers would be worthwhile, maybe as a wide receiver two type guy without a capable quarterback. Seahawks off to a 2-0 start. The expectations for them being explosive offensively were realized more in week two and week one. Metcalf and Smith Njigba doing fantasy-worthy things in week two. I don't know if it'll be consistent each week, but there's potential there. Cardinals. The big headline there is, of course, Harrison and what he did and how they got him involved early in week two. Trey McBride, by the way, who I said he doesn't score enough. He fell on a fumble in the end zone. I still don't. It shows you how bad overall the landscape of tight ends are when Trey McBride is being listed as the best tight end in week three. 49ers, McCaffrey injured, Debo injured. Is what Jordan Mason doing sustainable? Can Ayuk take on more of a role to justify his big contract? And I'm one of those who picked up Jennings. And will we see an uptick in Jennings' production? Rams. The Cup injury stinks. The Nacua injury stinks. I'm not sure which of the Rams receivers will be the one to be most productive, or if it's a tight end, or if the Rams try some other approach. We saw a little of Blake Corum. The offensive line is not in a very good state. The Rams will get this straightened out, but it's a tough time for being a fantasy owner of any of the Rams. Vikings. I just have to keep falling back on what I told you prior to fantasy drafts about improperly devaluing Justin Jefferson. And don't underestimate Sam Darnold with this head coach and with that wide receiver. Lions. Amon-Ra St. Brown had his bounce back week two the way Harrison. It was a bounce back. Granted, Harrison's a rookie. Lions. What are we looking at here? Not as explosive offensively all the way around. Maybe your expectations were too high for this team. And played two playoff teams from last year that the Lions beat, but played them tough in the Rams and the Buccaneers. I guess Jameson Williams is the standout story through 2 weeks. Bears, there's really nothing going on here. And without Keenan Allen, that may continue. Packers. Jaden Reed's good. It's just, when does Jordan Love come back? And what that means for Reed and Wicks and Dobbs. And they keep trying to get the ball to Christian Watson for big plays, including in the end zone. And finally, I did this faster than I thought. Saints, very explosive. I missed out on Shaheed on waivers. I guess I should have tried to get him after week one. I didn't. I wasn't a high enough claim to get him after week two. Now that he's playing, we always knew Shaheed was capable of big plays, but he wasn't on the field all the time. Now he is. Is it fair to say that the early assistant for teams out there that may be looking for a new head coach in 2025, they will want to talk to Kubiak? He's already on their radar for what's going on in New Orleans. So I'll say, and the touchdowns for Kamara, he's actually running for touchdowns. Buccaneers, what's going on at the running back position is interesting, because people that invested in Rashad White may be worried. And I think your concerns are valid that White, and now he suffered a groin injury with how Bucky Irving has been used the first couple of games, and in a game where Flo should be with them against the Broncos, is Irving just the better, more efficient, true running back than White, and what does it mean for White's role? Falcons. Cousins looked significantly better in a game they had no business being in against the Eagles, but he looked better with more zip on his throws. But there's nothing here that makes me rush or have buyer's remorse that I don't have any Falcons. I'm not at that point. And finally, Carolina. With the quarterback change, Carolina suddenly may have some value in a pass catcher. I picked up Adam Thielen this week. A case could be made for Deontay Johnson. A case could be made for their top draft pick, Leggett, because that guy is the first guy the Canales Morgan run Panthers chose. So there may be some potential for one of those three with Dalton, simply because Dalton knows how to throw the ball down the field, and Young doesn't or wouldn't. It's amazing to me when you look at Bryce Young's passing charts from last year to this year, how beyond 10 yards down the middle of the field, or even 5 yards, you don't even see an attempt. I mean, he's either throwing to the left sideline, the right sideline, or at or behind the line of scrimmage. That's it. And that's not going to work. Dalton can use the whole field. So there may be value in Thielen, Johnson, and Leggett based on the quarterback change. But don't go overboard. Although, what was it? Young got sat down like in a week three, week four game last year and threw for like over 300 yards. So see what happens, because I think they're going to Las Vegas. All right, write.todd@yahoo.com, write.todd@yahoo.com. There are some random thoughts, fantasy-wise, from the first 2 weeks of all 32 NFL teams. I'm sure something in there resonated with you with one of your teams or players. And if I can help further, email me, right.todd@yahoo.com. The Todd Wright Fantasy Football Podcast is presented by Hooters.